Seagar, who is a senior service fellow, also with the Immunization Safety Office here in Atlanta at CDC. Thank you, Dr. Taliagar.
Thank you, Robin. Good afternoon. It is my pleasure to present today on post-vaccination syncope. These are the presentation outlines. Post-vaccination syncope is a transient loss of consciousness due to decreased brain perfusion. Vasovagal reaction is a range of symptoms in the result of sudden decrease in blood pressure, which deprives the brain of sufficient oxygen, causing dizziness or a brief loss of consciousness. This is the most common cause of syncope, and recovery is generally spontaneous. However, there is a potential for secondary traumatic injuries from falling. The episodes are typically recurrent, usually occur when the person is exposed to a specific trigger. Prior to loss of consciousness, the individual frequently experiences a prodrome. This stage lasts for at least a few seconds before consciousness is lost. When sufferers pass out, they fall down, and when in this position, blood flow to the brain is restored, allowing the person to wake up. If sufferers try to sit or stand when they wake up, they may pass out again. There are some limited evidence of what measures could prevent vasovagal reactions. Most information is coming from studies in blood donors or from trauma centers. Coffee consumption, fluid loading, muscle tension, distraction, providing more personal attention were observed to be beneficial. It is important to recognize the prodrome stage. Obtaining information about previous history of vasovagal reaction and observing a 15-minute waiting period after vaccination were reported to be good preventive measures. And these are the existing recommendations to prevent post-vaccination syncope. ACIP recommends that providers should strongly consider observing patients for 15 minutes after they are vaccinated. And the Red Book specifically states that having vaccine recipients sit or lie down for 15 minutes after immunization could avert many syncopal episodes and secondary injuries. And nevertheless, we keep receiving reports of syncopes following vaccination to Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And sometimes these reports are serious. Susan Duderstadt, she went over the major limitations and strengths of this system, and I would not repeat her. The only thing I would state again, and I could not highlight more the limitations of this system. And these are the underreporting and stimulated reporting due to media attention and other factors. We often are facing reports with incomplete data where there is no identifiable reporters or patients' information and not enough medical records. VAERS published a few reports about syncope following immunization. In data 2000 through 2005, there had been 107 reports of post-vaccination syncope associated with fall and injury, including one death and two severe head injuries. And in the most recent MMWR publication, which analyzed data 2005 through 2007, there were 63% of the 463 syncope reports, which were determined to be associated with recently recommended vaccines administered in adolescent patients, which had been Menactra, MCV4 abbreviated from here on, tetanus, diphtheria and acellular pertussis, Tdap, and Gardasil, HPV. And now I'll go into more details. The survey objectives. We conducted a phone survey of a convenient sample of various cases reported in the first 8 months of 2009 to collect information about post-vaccination syncope. And specifically, we were interested in visible signs and symptoms before, during, and after the syncope, and also health outcomes of the cases reported, circumstances under which the syncope episode occurred, measures implemented by providers to prevent those vasovagal syncopes, and other related data. These were the definitions. A reporter was considered a person who submitted a report to VAERS about post-vaccination syncope. And as you know, in VAERS, a reporter could be anyone, could be a healthcare provider, could be a parent, a manufacturer, and the patient, him or herself. A case is a person who experienced post-vaccination syncope and was eligible for survey after we applied exclusion and inclusion criteria. With a caveat, only cases with loss of consciousness within 1 hour from immunization were considered for our survey. And I would like to repeat that serious adverse events in VAERS are deaths, life-threatening illness, permanent disability, hospitalization, prolongation of an existing hospitalization. These reports were coded as serious. And we used Medical Dictionary for Regulatory Activities, MedRA, to identify reports of syncope. So to first, we identify a pool of VAERS reports coded as syncope, serious and non-serious reports with onset interval on the same day of vaccination were included. All ages, both genders, and all vaccine types were also included. We made sure to exclude manufacturer reports because they usually are lacking critical identifiable and contact information for the report and vaccine recipient. We also excluded other reports with incomplete information after we reviewed them. We called reporters in September, November of 2009 to administer a standardized questionnaire. And this is just an illustration of how we selected cases. So initially, we identified 381 reports. Then after we applied exclusion criteria, we were down to 243. We had in mind, because it was a convenient sample, we wanted to have about 100 reports. So we called 142 most recently submitted reports from the point where we started the survey. We had 28 non-responders, and we ended up with 114 syncope cases. Among those, three were reported as serious. And I will further on talk about these 114 cases. Preliminary results. The major number of reporters were healthcare providers, 110 of them. We had one parent and one patient. When we asked about the settings, providers' offices were the majority, the half of the settings where the vaccination had been administered, and health departments were 34%. Females comprised the major part, 81% of our pool of cases. The mean age, 17 years, and median age of 15 years. And these are some questions we asked about the background before the syncope. Previous history of syncope had been reported in 24 cases. It's interesting that 34 reporters could not tell us anything, so probably they did not collect that information. And when we asked whether patient had beverage or food intake prior to immunization, 34 patient had, or one-third of all. And again, half of those were not asked about that, so we could not find out. And the graph to your left depicts the onset time from vaccination to syncope. Please note that the majority of cases fainted within first 15 minutes after vaccination, and this was expected based on previous literature. The graph to your right illustrates distribution by age group, and the majority of cases were 12 to 13 year olds. It's the green bar. And Gardasil, Menactra, and Tdap administered alone or in combination were the most frequently reported among our sample of cases. At that time, these vaccines had been introduced to the immunization schedule for adolescent age groups. And also Gardasil was recommended and is recommended to females in three-dose series, and this also may contribute to higher weight of this vaccine among all other various reports. We asked a reporter about the position the patient was in at the time of the vaccination. And half of the patients were sitting, another half were standing or walking. In 39 cases, syncope occurred in the exam room. There were, interestingly, four cases who fainted in the car, and fortunately, they were in the passenger seat. Almost half of the patients were asked to wait after receiving the shot. So you see the bar, 52 cases, and 26 cases fainted immediately, so providers did not have even time to talk to them. Of the 79 witnessed cases of syncope, these were reported signs and symptoms for pre-syncope and during syncope. In 46% of cases, there were tonic-clonic movements associated with syncope, and we have literature data which is almost similar to this. 31 patients fell and was injured. Among those, three were serious reports. And this is a brief summary of all these serious reports. A 17-year-old female, she felt sick for 3 weeks after the vaccination with all these symptoms, was referred to neurologist, and we still don't know the outcome. Another 13-year-old female syncopized with tonic-clonic movements described an aura and a brief postictal period within 5 minutes after vaccination. EEG, MRI were normal and is followed by a neurologist. 13-year-old female walked out of exam room and passed out 5 to 7 minutes after injection, experienced head injury, was evaluated in ER and observed for 23 hours in the hospital. CT negative. 44 providers reported they had a waiting policy. Of those who did not have it, 9 stated they implemented it in the result of the syncope episode. Limitations. Convenience sample is not necessarily representative of the total population. A recall bias survey was conducted months after the syncope event occurred. And various data, as I mentioned, and Dr. Duderstadt mentioned, is a subject to underreporting and stimulating overreporting. We think that we had underreporting for syncope if cases had been miscoded as anaphylaxis of seizure. Potential stimulating overreporting for syncope cases following HPV4 vaccine because of high media coverage and increased public attention. We believe that healthcare providers could be overrepresented in our sample. Probably they are most familiar with VAERS and submissions to VAERS. The predominance of female cases could be a result of higher number of HPV vaccine administered in females. High distribution of syncope after three vaccines that are administered in ages adolescent ages reflect a recent introduction of these vaccines to the immunization schedule. In conclusion, post-vaccination syncope remains a concern, and mainly because of secondary injuries with serious outcomes sometime. This may affect vaccine acceptance behavior. There are existing ACIP and NAP recommendations, and we may want to work more on increased awareness among healthcare providers about those. In healthcare settings, providers consider additional preventive measures based on their own observations and based on medical literature published before. Important to recognize presyncope signs and symptoms, and that might avert serious outcomes. And we acknowledge that refined evidence-based prevention recommendations are needed. I would like to acknowledge my colleagues who helped me with this presentation, and thank you very much for being at this session. Thank you.